right there.
My question is what the Richard Pereski said that as far as he knows, the latest on the program council is that the Pacific and National Board has said that all the stations should be creating a program council. So my question is, since this was brought up at your meeting, what is the next step and what role does the LSB take, the individual LSB, in implementing what the Pacific and National Board has already decided should be done? In other words, is anybody responsible for implementing this decision? It seems like we're not waiting for another thing from the National Board. It's just a question of implementing it locally. Is that correct?
Before we get to your question, we had a question from Carol. And I wonder if anybody had any response to that, which was, is there some suggestion about who to go to have a discussion about relationships with the people that they're being in touch with as a result of the work? I guess I'll hear that question. I will own that question, and I will try and get back to you. How's that? Now, to David's question, which I heard a little differently, and I see Margie and Janet both want to respond to that.
The resolution that was passed by the PMB last year directed the executive director to work with the general managers to establish a program councils at each station. I know that at and as far as I know, the executive director did that, and I don't know where that has been, where that's been implemented. The motion says the PMB directs the executive director to set up program councils as management committees at each station. So I think that we should, if we're going to do anything, that we should ask the executive director where this stands and what is happening. They're actually in the process of creating one in Texas, and so I think that's a place where. Although that general manager had very strong objections to the resolution that was passed by the PMB, so I don't know exactly how that's working out. But I think the place to start is with the executive director, whose responsibility it is to see that these councils are created.
Janet.
Yes. So. The motion or the resolution, as Margie said, talks about program councils as management committees, and what does that mean? Well, let me just read the next section. The composition of the committees shall consist of 1/3 staff selected by STV election, 1/3 members of the LSB, as selected by an STV election, and 1/3 listeners approved jointly by the LSB and the program director by a procedure satisfactory to both. The terms shall be for a maximum of 2 years, or for an LSB member, the term on the LSB, whichever is less. And there's more to it, but I'm wanting to know, Margie, maybe you would know more about this, where this motion can be seen publicly. I mean, is there a way to...
Well, that's a problem, because it was passed at a meeting last year, I think, I don't know, October or September. Don't even quote me on that, because my memory is shot. It was passed sometime last year. And it is among the minutes which have yet to be brought to the PMB for approval. So there are several. The previous secretary has not provided minutes for, I don't remember exactly, I would say late August through the end of his term, which was the end of January. except for there were minutes from a November meeting that have been brought to the board. So that's the problem. It's not yet up on the KP, but we could post it. That's not a problem. We could post it so that if people wanted to look at it, they could look at it. There have been other motions which have been brought to this body on the issue of a program council as well.
Point of information. So, Margie, you said we could post it. Who's we and where would it be posted? On the website, on the KPFA?
Sure.
KPFA. Yeah, okay.
Kate.
Could you tell us who the previous secretary was responsible for providing these minutes?
Richard Uzel.
Carol. Oh, Paula. I'm sorry. Paula was next, and then Carol.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what Perotsky had said about that. He just said that the ED and was flushing it out to try to make it apolitical, this program council, and that was like part of what was holding it up, trying to figure out how to configure it.
Amen. Carol.
Okay. So thank you for responding to my question, and also I wanted to go on to the rest of my report. CAB members have been contacted by many listeners and community members concerning the elimination of the morning mix. And some of us were at some of the events and also at the interview for the station manager. And what is coming to our attention is that people, many, many people did appreciate that the morning mix played a kind of contact, a kind of connection with the community, so that people who had issues could take them to the morning mix or could be known by the morning mix. So what's happened now is that there's kind of a gap, so that if people have issues and they may not know how to connect with the station in the same way. And I know that some of the shows are still on, but say Anthony's program, I know that there were people interviewed and involved in the community on that show, which is no longer on. So I think one of the things that we want to share with you is the need for having close connection with programmers, with the community, and the possibility of having issues. And I know that maybe those don't, in the short run, generate funds, but what people are, the people in outreach or people in the community advisory board, I think, are trying to make connection with the people in the community so that there is connection, both input and output. Thank you.
Don. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mark.
Given what was said in the proposal for the rules for the program council, I'll reiterate my longstanding objection to inclusion of the LSV members. As we make policy for the programming of the station without actually doing programming, it would be a conflict of interest for LSV, especially if it's factionalized, to be putting people on board that could then promise programs or guarantee programs to individuals. It should strictly be staff and listeners. It should not include the LSB, and that was the original proposal that came out of the 1999 breakup.
Don?
Yes, Carol, you alluded to many listeners. Can you quantify what you mean by many listeners, number one? And number two, then you said that now they couldn't listen to the morning mix, but then you qualified that and said, in fact, most of the morning mix is indeed on the air. It's not on in the morning.
Right. So when I say many listeners, I mean, I can say that there were a lot of people at the rallies, and there are a lot of organizations. I mean, I could look around this room and see there's people from Cop Watch, there's people from Berkeley Post Office Defense, there's people from, unions, AFSCME, Stop Goldman Sachs. There's people from a lot of different community organizations that are represented that have connection with the Morning Mix. And so those organizations, I think what we're looking at is it's not just like a few people that are disenfranchised by a closing of a program like that. It's whole organizations in their communities that are wanting representation.
All right. I think that we're moving on.
Excuse me, one last little bit. The last thing, the Community Advisory Board is having a town hall meeting on Saturday, June 21st at Eastside Arts Alliance from 1 to 3 p.m., and we'd really like if you guys could come. It's 2277 International Boulevard, and we've had some pretty interesting response. I'd love for you guys to see what we do.
What time?
It's June 21st, 1 to 3, so it's next Saturday.
What's the?
2277 International Boulevard in Oakland.
All right. Do we have a KFCF report? No. Do we?
This is going to be kind of a tough one. It is. This is going to be kind of a tough one. Over the last week, we've had a bit of an upheaval at KFCF over a program that decided at the last minute to demand a two-hour extension of the program, which in the end was found to have been a promotion for a commercial event and also for a organization that lost its 501c3 funding. They were going to promote fundraising activities for that. As a result, the programming collective has resigned en masse, and we have apparently lost two, possibly four of our board members over this, who felt that the time should have just been given rather than look into it and see if it was justified. I don't have all the details. I have some of them, but enough to say that it's very likely Mel Sanders will no longer be on this body. I've yet to talk to him specifically, but it looks like he's one of the resignees. Beyond that, we've had several events in what we call the Intermountain Nursery. Is a group of people up in the Sierra Nevadas who organize and carry out events where they basically exchange plants, farmers, gardeners, so forth. And we also turn it into an event with bands, food, entertainment. The nice thing about it is that we have a crew that volunteers a solar generator, so the entire event is green, as well as it only possibly imagined it would be. We do this each year, and each year it generally turns into a profit for us, so the station's going up and keeping well. We are getting ready to gear up for our next round of elections, and I'll have more after the next meeting. We may, again, be seeing somebody replacing Mel, or Mel may become back. I don't know yet.
How is the transmitter funding problem?
At the moment, the transmitter is fully funded. We managed to get it replaced.
Great.
We did carry out a mini fundraiser. We also dropped our classic Adopt a Watt, where people send in $5 per watt. And we had 5,000 watts. It generates quite a bit of money for us. So
It's a quick and dirty way of making money, but we've done it several times in the past, and it's been quite effective, and people do answer the call because they do want to hear what's on the air.
Okay. All right. I'm actually, I think, going to get ready to go home because I'm feeling weak, and Ramses is going to take over, and as all of you know, the two of us came in late, and Burton gave us a scratched-out agenda shift, and I wanted to clarify what it was before I hand it over to Ramses. It is our understanding that old business, the policy calling the police was tabled, and that replacing it as a report back from the May racism workshop. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And that under new business, Resolution C was moved up to Resolution A. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Ramses, take it away. Have a wonderful afternoon, everyone.
Be well. Be well.
Wipe the mic.
Where's the... Anybody get... Oh, I have one. Here. I have a real thing.
The real thing?
Here you go.
In that little purse, you got the real thing?
Yep.
All right, thank
Just
you.
Just be glad it's not a cobra.
Yes, quickly.
All right, thank you, Carol.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Those are my cookies. Oh, no, you can have them.
Give them to me.
They look like
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, cookies all the time.
Okay.
We didn't discuss that.
Be well, darling. Okay. Thank you so much for your service. Yes,
okay.
In spite of your infirmity. Thank you.
Okay, so next on the agenda is a report on the workshop on racism from last month that we did it after we finished the LSB session. How should we... Oh, that's right. We canceled the LSB. I'm sorry to take that back. We canceled the LSB, so there wasn't an official LSB, but we did have a training for the LSB members last month. And did a workshop around racism. And I know Samsara was one of our trainers. I think the majority of the board did show up and was present there.
About half?
Okay. So we have some time, you know, based on the other agenda item that had about 20 minutes. It's like 5 past the hour right now, 3:05. We're here till 4. So... why don't we go ahead? Should we start with folks who were there? Are there folks who want to share on the and do a report? Share your piece, Samsara. Would you like to go ahead and start? Okay. And then if somebody else wants to speak, raise your hand and I can take your name down.
Hello. Hi. This is Samsara. My energy is kind of low today, so I will try to speak up. Thank goodness for this thing. Okay, so the training, or it wasn't really, call it a training, I would call it a moment of deep experience. And it was very well attended. I don't think it was the majority of the board, but it was certainly more people than I expected because we had conflicting events going on. Another important event was taking place at the same time, and there was, you know, rescheduling and all that stuff that went on before we were able to gather. But we had a full conference room. And I really want to thank everybody who took the time to be there in that room. I think that it was a beautiful time that we had together. I think it was time well spent. Everybody who was there really came with their full presence. and even to the point of sharing their discomfort at being in the room. I mean, at that period of time when the event was taking place, I think we were at peak stress mode. It was just maybe starting to taper off, or maybe it was starting to go even further up. The levels of stress and there was a big potential for meltdown. There was a big potential for a lot of acrimony, and that just was not present in this event. And I just want to thank. And that was, I think, it was an intention that I had in my heart, but I also think it was the intention of everybody who came and was in that room that day. So I just want to give thanks for that. I want to thank my co-facilitator Nicola Tobert, who volunteered her time and made it possible for me as a person of color to even do that work that day. And I want to say that I want to find some way that we can continue this kind of work. I think it's very needed on the board, just on an individual basis, and that individual work will extrapolate out into the organization as a whole. I want to recommend we move away from the conversation about who is or is not a racist, but to have our focus be on the systems of oppression that affect us individually, people of color, and organizations, and it's particularly afflict organizations that have as their goal of doing good. It's really kind of distressing to see how organizations whose job it is to, you know, help bring peace on earth are the most divided, and those who are, you know, Monsantoing us to death are in full agreement about what they're doing and moving forward with full force. So that has to be healed. And like even in this meeting today, there was so much evidence of our inability to be cordial and in our heart space when we deal with each other. And that nothing's going to change unless we do that. So racism is just one of the most important topics that we need to keep our hearts open about as we deal with each other. We're all beautifully wounded and perfect beings. So also I want to look, I want to create an environment where we can look at perhaps a matrix. We had a little conversation about this morning before we came to the meeting. The matrices that can be used whenever decisions are made. So for example, a program manager needs to move a program or hire or fire somebody. Something that decision can be filtered through gauging the level of potential oppression. You know, to help people kind of step out of the way this stuff works is that we don't get where our privilege is, and everyone's got some. It looks different. And so as a decision is being made, how we run that through our computer, something that will help us highlight, oh, this might not work for people of color. This might not work for women. This might not work for the unpaid staff. This might not work for the paid staff. Mm-hmm. And just that sensitivity that every decision should be made with, how is it going to affect somebody who doesn't walk like me or look like me or think like me or live like me? So I'm, you know, fully committed to continuing to look at this, and, you know, I hope that we can, you know, find a scheme that would work for this organization as quickly as possible, actually. So thank you for allowing me to serve.
All right. Thank you, Samsara. I have a few people on the list, Burton, Joy, Margie, and then I put myself on it. Is anybody else with comment or questions you want to be on the list? Okay.
Is it on now?
Yes.
I want, speaking as a person who at times does conciliation and neutral work and facilitation, I was extraordinarily impressed by Samsara and her colleagues, and I want to thank you very much for that. And I just want to say that it was a very, very welcome feeling to be in a group of people whose goal was to resolve rather than to prevail.
Okay. Joy?
I too want to express my gratitude for this board's attempt to have a discussion about something that is fundamentally at the core of the mission of this station. And I want to especially thank Samsara and her co-facilitator and suggest that we commit today to doing something similar or further along. And I'd like to work with Samsara and have a open discussion where we are led by some other media, another film. There's some other films that I think that would really help us. Or even inviting someone like Tim Wise or Angela Davis or someone we could actually attract to us or Michelle Alexander to help us with this too. And I too am conflicted about the word racism. It's a little different from what Samsara said. I'm affected by discrimination and I benefit from privilege as well. And so it makes it difficult to examine and to analyze and to dissect and to bring up and to share what discrimination feels like. But I feel like we're caught in the trap of history that's created a language that makes it difficult for us to actually talk about this dispassionately as we need to, or passionately without hurting people. And to start out a gathering by calling it a meeting about racism puts a heavy onus on one group of people who were born into the same system that I was born into. Can I say that? So I think I would like to suggest that we have a session or a gathering where we discuss the language of quote-unquote racism as a way of building a common ground that we can discuss these things in a way that isn't hurtful but moves us forward. And it's some of the techniques and strategies that I learned through the AVP program, which I tried to bring to this station several times. But I want to just suggest that we go further. I'm not going to go any more than that. I just want to say don't let this be our only step. I want to go down the road of understanding, community building, and compassion, and an end to oppression. And thanks again, everybody who did come. I'm sorry I couldn't come. I had to work in the phone room that day.
Okay. Margie, you're next. But Sam, sorry, did you want to directly respond to something?
Just a quick response to that. I really feel the desire to like kind of get rid of that word because the word seems to cause so much problems. But I also want to point out that there's this the helpful role of the cognitive dissonance of that word. Mm-hmm. And so as we continue to talk together and we need to talk about it, this is a whole separate conversation, like this word, racist, race and racism and who's a racist. There's growth in the rub. There's growth in the discomfort, and I think that a healthy organization or a healthy group of people, a healthy community, healthy family, gets to roll with that discomfort and not attack each other. So to take the word out, and then everybody sits to fumble with the elephant in the living room, I don't recommend. But I just wanted to say that real quick, and I welcome us continuing to have that conversation and many others.
Okay. Margie.
I want to join others who thank Samsara. She did a terrific job, and I think one of the reasons the day was so productive was that she was such a great facilitator, along with her co-facilitator, Nicola, who I had the privilege of meeting for the first time that day. We used the film Cracking the Codes as a that was sort of our, where we took our lessons. It was what we jumped off from was the film. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you know, I just urge you to do it. If you get a chance, if you have an opportunity, maybe we should create an opportunity for those who weren't there and invite others to participate, because it's really very powerful. And one of the first things I took away from the film, and I keep saying I'm going to make a button that says, why is Europe a continent? You know, a continent is supposed to be a large landmass, mostly or completely surrounded by water. And Europe doesn't fill either of those conditions, but it is a continent, and why is that? Anyway, I very much appreciated the day. And I also did a workshop with Joy. I forget what it's called. What's that thing? The Alternative to Violence Program. And that was fabulous also. And that is, you know, it's sort of, it's a different approach, but it deals with how we deal with each other when we have differences. And so I think that it would be a really useful kind of thing for us to do as well. And I want to say that, you know, life is long and it's full of all kinds of problems. And really, in the end, all you have is the process. All you have is the way you lived your life and what you did and how you related to other people. And you may never get that goal, you know. We may never achieve what we want with Pacifica or with KPFA. And so it's terribly important that as we move along and we make decisions about what we're doing, that we're careful about the process and take care of the process, because that may be all we have.
Thank you. So I had myself next, and time myself just in case. I enjoyed being at the workshop, you know, and going through this with other members of the board. Early in my activism as a student organizer, I was involved with a lot of what we called anti-racist trainings and workshops back then. So I already had some familiarity with this kind of workshop, you know, and kind of framework for understanding racism and other forms of oppression. So, and I've always thought that these are very useful, but you have to be very intentional as a group, right? And not feel like you're being dragged in against your will and so on, but rather, you know, like other folks have stated, it's more like a full group thing, you know, like a community type of thing, you know, like where we all want to figure our way out together, right? And different people have different roles throughout the whole process, and that's understood because we're all very different people. different skills and also different experiences, right? But there's a role for everybody, right? And there's a role that people can always take personally to try to help out in the larger fight against racism and other forms of oppression. And that's one of the things that personally brings me to KPFA as a listener for a long time, or since I moved to the Bay Area in 2001, right before 9/11 happened, was that we're always ready to fight against racism. We're always ready to fight against all forms of oppression. You know, we're very much already intentionally thinking like that. And I think doing a workshop like this goes a little bit deeper and starts, you know, we start exploring and understanding how, you know, lifetimes of experience with oppression in our communities, you know, just permeates itself so much and manifests itself in our daily interactions with each other, right? And I think that's also very important for us to talk about and think about, because oftentimes we don't know how we're manifesting oppression within, you know, against each other, starting with the within us here at the LSB, to the station, to programming, right, to the rest of the community, right? I think we do a hell of a job, much better than the corporate world and the private sector and so on, right? But it doesn't mean we need to stop, right? It means that this is a long path that we're on, and so I'm proud that we did this, and I'm really glad to hear that people kind of want to see like a follow up, something next, you know, because this isn't a one time thing, but rather, we need to keep doing this and need to start figuring ways out to like see this, because I feel like there's also a lot of people of color that I talked to who participate at the station, specifically in programming, who expressed that they want to see things like this also within the unpaid staff and all of the staff, you know, and volunteers and so on, to address issues and concerns they have around racism and other forms of oppression, right? So this is just the start for me, or part of the path to a much longer place. So thanks.
Thank you.
And I have Barbara next. I have Barbara and Janet. And does anybody want to be on the list? Otherwise, okay.
Well, I just want to thank Samsara also. I thought it was very valuable. I was glad we did it. I was also glad that serendipitously we didn't have our LSB meeting. And that, if people don't remember, was due to the notice being put up one day late, and the legal requirements about how long we have to have notices up about public meetings caused us to cancel it. And so I'm not quite sure how we would work in, another session that isn't associated with an LSB meeting. But I think it would be a good idea. And although the attendance was good, I was kind of disappointed that it was really only half the LSB that was there. However, it was extremely valuable.
Janet.
Yes, I too want to thank you, Samsara. I thought it was very valuable. And at one point, I counted 13 of us, so there was a quorum, actually. I think that this kind of work does need to continue. We're not done, for sure. I wanted to kind of piggyback on what one of the things Joy said. There was somebody named Sharon Strand Ellison, who I heard on KPFA, talking. She has an organization, Powerful Non-Defensive Communication, and she talks about taking the war out of our words. And I think maybe, you know, that might be another person we could approach. And there's also NVC, Nonviolent Communication, but this is a different thing.
No more LSB meetings. Is that a motion? That's like a microphone. David?
Yes, I have a point of procedure. I don't know if we're finished with this item, but I know we're going on to new business and we only have a little over half an hour. So what I would propose is that we decide to take up items A and B only, and that we divide the remaining time between those two resolutions so that there's time to discuss and possibly vote on both.
So the thing is, we just finished this section, so there were no more hands and or questions or so. So we are going to new business now. We do have about 35 minutes left. And this is your proposal. I think we need to go through them, and I actually had a question first to everybody because I wasn't here in the beginning. I see part A is the resolution regarding the morning mix. I have that. Is B still local community programming, and is there a proposal?
No. Resolution regarding morning mix. A and B have now become B and C.
Right.
And this is now number two. That's B.
Okay.
That's C.
And this is C. Okay. And we don't actually have a local community programming proposal right now, do we?
No, that was
our motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she's gone.
So then we only have morning mix and sale of specific licenses. Okay. And that's the order. So why don't we go through them in that order then? Okay. And I would suggest if we happen to have time, then we do local community programming. Otherwise, I think technically it becomes table then.
Well, that's going to be hard to do with that.
Yeah. I know. Is it okay? Everybody okay to proceed? Okay. So let's. Okay, so let's move to a resolution regarding the morning mix.
Was that distributed?
It was distributed, and I see. So pay attention, Ramses, because there are two versions of this resolution. There's one version that is copied on both sides. Ignore that version, okay? There's another version. It's headed resolution regarding morning mix, parenthesis modified. It's copied on only one side. This is the correct copy. Janet made some modifications to her resolution. So the previous one is superseded by this other one that's on one-sided sheet of paper. There you go.
Okay. So I have a hand. I have Sam Sarah. Go ahead.
I'm not sure procedurally where I'm supposed to say this, but I want to ask that when we get to the point of voting that we do a roll call vote on this.
Okay. It's been noted. And I know that for me personally, I could use a minute to read the new one because I hadn't read the modified one. But Janet?
Can the secretary read the motion, please?
Okay.
Yes, that's in order. Sorry.
Craig?
Go ahead.
I could. Janet, I would like to defer to you. I mean, it's
okay.
It's your baby. Well, so I would say go for it if you're amenable.
Okay. All right. It's a resolution regarding morning mix. Whereas the powers, duties, and responsibilities given to local station boards in the Pacifica bylaws, Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 3, specific powers and duties include, quote, G, to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, parentheses demographic, and communities, parentheses geographic, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. Whereas the morning mix aired on KPFA at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday for approximately 3.5 years, and whereas the morning mix was produced and hosted by a diverse team of KPFA staff, and whereas KPFA's interim general manager canceled the morning mix without ever holding a meeting with the mix hosts, nor was any evaluation of the morning mix prepared, and whereas KPFA's interim general manager notified the morning mix hosts by email on May 22nd, actually that should be May 21st, 4 days before the programming change was slated to begin, and did not explain why the morning mix was being canceled, except to say that the replacement show, Uprising, from KPFK in Los Angeles, had, quote, performed well, end quote, in the preceding 3 days of fund drive when it preempted the morning mix. And whereas the cancellation of the morning mix with no prior consultation or program evaluation, which was extremely disrespectful of the morning mix listeners and the KPFA staff who worked on the mix, set a poor example of management staff listener relations. And whereas replacing a locally produced program with a program from outside Northern California will inevitably diminish the quantity and quality of local coverage during the 8 o'clock hour, a.m. hour, and whereas the restoration of the morning mix has been endorsed by the National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 214, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 10, and the San Francisco Labor Council, therefore, be it resolved that the KPFA local station board urges KPFA's general manager to promptly restore the morning mix to the 8 o'clock a.m. hour, Monday through Friday, and before a locally produced program is canceled or subjected to a major schedule change, A policy should be followed that includes a program evaluation, consultation between the programmers and management, and a time period granted for remedying perceived problems.
Thank you, Janet.
So may I motivate?
Is there a second?
Sorry, who was the second? Oh, Dave. Okay. So moved by Janet, second by Dave Welsh. We're in motion. Is there any comments on the motion at this time?
Point of information. Janet wants to motivate it. Oh. As the maker of the motion, she would be the first one to do it. Janet has requested to be the maker or to motivate the motion. As the maker of the motion, that's her privilege.
That's right. Thank you, Janet.
Okay, so this is about the recent cancellation of this program on KPFA. And the LSB does have responsibility when it comes to working with management on programming, as the bylaws, as is part of the motion in the in the bylaws listed in the motion. Generating revenue should not be the only consideration when it comes to program changes. Since the community and subscriber base of KPFA comes from the geographic area its FM signal reaches, and since working people are unlikely to listen to KPFA during the day, working people and students, and more likely to listen during the morning drive time or bus time to school, management should strengthen local programming during that time slot, especially that produced by a diverse group of unpaid staff members, rather than schedule that time slot with a program produced by a single paid programmer in Los Angeles. So I urge a yes vote on the motion.
Thank you, Janet. So I'll put Mark on the list. I'll put myself on the list. Anybody else?
I want to be on the list.
Okay.
And I'm also taking time.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy. Mark?
Janet makes the point that the bylaws require us to be working on policies for programming in a collaborative, respectful manner. Janet points out at the beginning of her motion in the whereas clause, the powers, duties, and responsibilities given to the local station boards, requiring us to work in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner. Yet in the motion itself, it demands that the program director, the general manager, restore. There is no collaboration. There's no respect. It's a directive. It's an order. Mr. Perotsky came for us today and told us part of the reasons why. And as has been pointed out repeatedly, although it's ignored repeatedly as well, the vast majority of the programming material that's in the morning mix is still on KPFA, just at different time slots. I'm not quite sure and clear how 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. or 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Became drive time, because most people are drive timing from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Quite a few people commute from outside the Bay Area and leave at 5 a.m. to get here at 8 a.m. So the argument that this is a drive time issue kind of falls flat when facing with real working reality. But the bottom line of it is this. The LSB has a duty and responsibility per the bylaws, as she says, to work with the development of programming policies, not programming. We go out to the community, not a community, the community, everyone. We find out what the needs are for the communities, all the different branches and parts of it, determine what we have available to produce programming for it, and we encourage the program director or the general manager to begin the production program that meets those needs. But that's where it stops. We don't have the authority to micromanage. We don't have the authority to say, this program, not that one. And that partly is why I'm against the LSP sitting on program council, because we're making up the policies. And part of our duty is to evaluate the program director or general manager on how they carry out those policies. Mark. If we insert ourselves into the programming, how are we evaluating their actions when we're basically puppet masters, pulling strings and telling them what to do? That's part of the reason why this is a separation of powers. This is why we come up with a general policy and let management implement that policy so we can judge whether they're working in our benefit, the community's benefit, or their benefit. I would urge that we vote against this motion at this time.
Okay, so I had myself on the list, and then would be Margie, Joey, and David. So I want to say that I'm in favor of the resolution. I am reluctant to say I'm in favor of the entire thing as it's stated. There's a lot of information here that I would have questions on, but what makes me feel comfortable with this is two main things. One, this is obviously non-binding. We don't get to tell the management, you know, exactly what they have to do, and they have to follow it, right? There's that dynamic that already exists. I do like that this resolution says that we're urging the KPFA general manager to promptly restore the morning mix, right? What I'm looking for is language, you know, and something like this, which is a resolution. It's language that actually, you know, invites them to start the process for dealing with this issue, right? And then the other main reason why I'm supportive of this resolution is because about a dozen folks or more showed up today for public comment to tell us that they want this restored, right? Like, I can't ignore when folks in the community are coming out to let us know that they're concerned about something that just happened in the station, and they're here telling us as the board that they're concerned about this, right? Most of them very directly telling us that they would like to see the show restored. From earlier comments today, I hear that there's all kinds of issues all right, with the morning mix. You know, I've heard a lot of points of views about why the morning mix, you know, should have been cut or at least altered significantly and so on. Like, I think those are valid, you know, but there has to be, we have to strike a balance at all times with what we believe in as a community, as a station, as listeners, our mission statement. And I think that's been greatly cited by folks who came and did public comment today. And we have to respect that, right? And also a balance with management, and management has to make decisions. But I do feel that today this has been lopsided with this decision to cut the morning mix the way it was done, right? And therefore, I'm supportive of the resolution because I like to see management actually, you know, actually engages on this, and the folks who are participating in morning mix be engaged about this and actually have a step through it, a process for dealing with this that, like, reduces the anxiety, because I've also heard from folks in other shows that they feel anxiety around, you know, what's going to happen, you know, to my show or places that I contribute, right? If from one day to the next they cut the morning mix, right? So that's stuff that we can't ignore. And so I'm for passing the resolution to urge the GM to restore the morning mix and definitely hear what we're saying today. So I have Margie next.
Okay. You want to time me?
Sure.
Oh, here. I want to make a substitute motion. I'm going to make a substitute motion, but first I want to say something about the history here. The show that preceded the morning mix, the morning show, was a show that was produced and hosted by a diverse group of people. The actual hosts changed over time. The show was on KPFA for more than 30 years. It was a program that focused on the greater Bay Area, had news from around the Bay Area, had a regular labor report on Wednesday mornings that talked about all kinds of labor issues. had a regular cultural, element. And so to act as if the morning mix was the first time that there was local news and local reporting just leaves me stunned. It's simply not true. And you can go back and listen. Oh, maybe you can't. I don't know if the archives still exist. But if you can go back and listen to the archives of the morning show, you can see what I'm talking about. I think KPFA has a long and proud history of dealing with issues around the Greater Bay Area. In any event, I'm troubled by many. I certainly understand why. Where the motion is, resolution is coming from, but I'm troubled by much of the content and couldn't possibly vote for it in its current state. So I've written a substitute motion. This is my substitute motion. The KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. The KPFA LSB supports coverage of local, regional, national, and international issues. KPFA has a long history of covering Bay Area issues, and we urge station management to continue to find ways to provide quality programming in all of these areas. If I have a second?
Barbara is a second. Janet?
This motion, the original motion was about the morning mix, and the substitute motion seems to be a separate matter. So it's I don't see it as a substitute motion.
I do. You get to decide.
So the chair gets to decide.
Can you repeat the motion, your substitute motion again, please?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Mark.
We'll hear substitute the motion first. Deals with the specifics of our duties and responsibilities, which are as stated.
Wait. Let me read it first. The KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. The KPFA LSB supports coverage of local, regional, national, and international issues. KPFA has a long history of covering Bay Area issues, and we urge station management to continue to find ways to provide quality programming in all of these areas.
Point of order.
Point of order being,
Mark, you're on point of order. Go ahead.
The substitute motion is more in line with our duties, and actually, if passed, would be the first programming policy passed by this LSB in proper format since LSBs were formed.
And I had no idea.
All right. That
I have a point of order. I believe a substitute motion should be related to the motion that I think the substitute motion is out of order. It's like you have a substitute motion that we believe there should be less corruption in public life or something like that. In other words, it's unrelated to the Mason, and I think it should be ruled out of order.
Okay. This is very challenging for the only second time I'm doing this, but I, as the chair for today, for right now, I hear the arguments, both Janet and David, that, you know, and Mark, you know, and I do believe that this is definitely unrelated enough as a substitute motion, because it's not addressing the original part of the morning mix and directing, you know, an urgency to the general manager. So I would rule that it's not the appropriate substitution.
Mr.
Burton?
Chair,
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Thank you. I agree with the challenge.
All right. So what's the procedure on the challenge?
With
this
challenge. I think there's okay. There's no discussion.
There's no discussion.
I don't think there's. Is there discussion on the challenge to the chair? I can't remember. I know they do it to me all the time. Oh yeah, you can have discussion.
Margie, can you withdraw your motion, please? So and make it at a different time.
So Craig's going to look in the rule books for now.
I have a question. If this cannot be a substitute motion, it can still be a separate motion.
Yes.
Okay. I think that would save us a lot of time.
Thank you, Barbara.
Let's just yes. vote on both of them.
Okay.
But can we finish?
So there's a challenge.
Deal with the challenge to the chair.
No. Oh. Can the challenge be withdrawn?
No.
No. Okay. So we're in the challenge.
Okay, there's debate, because every time I'm challenged, there's always debate. So you have debate.
So we will have debate.
And the chair gets to speak first and last. So you get okay. to defend your position at the beginning, and then after other people have spoken, you get to defend your position the second time.
Okay. So, okay, so we're in challenge, and I guess the folks, there is debate. I get to speak first. So, I made my decision as chair over the substitute motion because I feel like it's definitely not related to the original motion unless I am challenged by the rule book that Craig is looking up right now. So that's why I made my decision. But if there are other folks who want to hear or debate this, we can do this now. Margie?
Well, you know, I think...
Microphone.
I'm sorry. My concern about the two therefore be it resolves in Janet's motion is that they do establish policy, which we have not had adequate discussion about. It's not, you know, we've never talked about the issue of what we do when station management does something we don't like. We've never come to a conclusion on that. We voted in the past. We voted that we urged management in the past to put the morning show back on the air, but we didn't have a discussion about policy. And there's so the whole thing about what happens, you know, when a locally produced program, blah blah blah. It seems to me that the problem is that we're making policy in a half-assed way, and I'm trying to make policy, which I think is appropriate and speaks directly to this question, in a straightforward and helpful way to the management at the station.
The debate. I saw Janet, Burton, and Paula, and then David.
So. I still don't understand why the substitute motion is related, and I think I heard, well, what Margie was talking about is her motion sets policy. Is that, and this one would also set policy, the last sentence.
Right.
And... so we're discussing that. That's part of discussing the motion, discussing that policy. So.
Okay. Burton.
The reason I
microphone.
He has it.
It's not on.
The reason I challenge the ruling of the chair reasons are the following. One is, it is, as I understand it, the responsibility of the board to make policy, not to make specific decisions about a program. My concern about the resolution offered in print is that it deals with a specific program rather than policy. Policy is our proper role. Secondly, and Janet, I say this only because of my ignorance, but there are assertions of fact here about which I do not know to be true, and there is no substantiating evidence, such as the consultation with the morning mix. It's my understanding that the general manager has, for some 6 months, been floating a number of changes that are involved around.
So I have a problem with the original resolution. I think, however, that the substitute motion goes right to the target of what I hear the arguments being made in support of Morning Mix. That is, that we should have the responsibility of doing coverage of local regional news and events. So I don't see that the chair was correct in ruling the substitute motion, which dealt with policy, as being improper over a resolution that is specifically targeted, as the debate has revealed, with regard to one specific managerial decision about one specific program. That is not this board's business.
Who's next?
Paula and then David. And then I'm going to have Craig read really quick what it says on substitute motions.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree with Margie that we haven't really fully established these policies. And this motion here also, talks about nor was any evaluation of the Morning Mix prepared. I'm not sure if that specifically means some written report or, but I did find out from the interim GE that the evaluations were ongoing, and as he, detailed all the different ways that he does evaluate, including the the Arbitron and the listener streams and how much the cost is and generates and salaries and all kinds of things that he outlined. He had been doing over a period of more than 6 months, and certainly staff and this LSB was very aware of several actually proposed program changes that many of us received on our computers, and he, as he said, he had talked with numerous staff about these changes. In fact, we had some people that were concerned about their program being changed came here to one of our meetings some months back when there was a lot of concern. So to say that there was no evaluation. And then he said, I said, well, that this evaluation was all given to Summer Reese. She had the details of his evaluation. Now, I don't know if there was, some missing link there where, this did not more fully get described. But I think I'd rather see some resolution about, just how we do evaluate. Let's see, no prior consultation. Well, we already covered that. He said he talked with numerous people. And then this business of San Francisco Labor Council, well, apparently they only just got one side of the story.
30 seconds.
And so, and several of these other organizations that are supposedly supporting. So I think that people aren't getting the full story of what really went on, and they're making their opinions based on less than the full story.
Okay. Thank you. So I have David, Joy, and Janet, and just want
to
point
out
that we're deep in logistical, technical stuff. We only have 5 minutes about.
I'd like to call a question on this matter.
I didn't hear you. Thank you. All right, so the question is called. There's no debate in calling the question. Are there any objections?
Yes.
Then you want to
then you have to
now
take
we have to vote. We have to extend the meeting, obviously.
Is there we cannot extend the meeting actually?
We have to vote on the call of the question at this point.
Do we
okay.
Any information from
we have that. We were supposed to read that. Yes, it's a little bit inconclusive. I can have Craig read it.
the point I'm trying to make is we're about to time out, right? So I'm looking for a way to figure out what's next, because in 2-3 minutes we have to start packing up, right? And we can call a question, we can return to a motion or a substitute motion, we'll still be beyond the time we're allowed to be here, right? So that's kind of like the critical part we're in. I know it's disappointing, but that is where we're at.
I'd like to propose that we table the question of the morning mix resolution, because I would like to consider the other resolution, which I thought we had tacitly agreed we would cover.
Okay.
That's all the work we're going to get done today.
Yeah.
Okay.
The order of business is first we have...
Microphone.
Excuse me. So when you're up against the time limit, you have to vote on the motions that are on the floor. So the first one is the motion of overruling the chair, and then the next in order would be David's motion to table.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was
because
looking for.
And a table motion has no debate. You just vote it up or down.
And I move that these be roll call votes.
Yeah, we've already.
Okay. So we're going to do a roll call vote on challenging my decision as the chair that's the substitute. What's that?
That's not a roll call vote.
We don't do a roll call vote on this. It was asked for. Okay. So let's do first on the challenge. Okay. The question was called. Let's do a roll call on. It was asked for. It was. Let's do the roll call. So all those in favor.
So on
the challenge to overrule my decision that the substitute motion was not proper, right?
The way it works is yes, you are upholding the chair, and no, you are not upholding the chair. That's how it's stated. Okay. So if you uphold the ruling of the chair, you vote yes. If you're opposed to the ruling of the chair, you vote no.
Craig.
Right. And the ruling of the chair was that this was not a substitute motion, so that it would have to be considered separately. So if you vote yes, that's your position. And if so, that's clear, right? Alderson, I abstain. Boschman is not here. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Tickert is not here. Urkola?
No.
Urkola is no. Fuentes? Fuentes is not here. Gans?
Abstain.
Gans abstains. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Goen?
No.
Goen, no. Hernandez?
No.
Hernandez, no. Johnson, not here. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil? Kurzweil, not here. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan?
Yes.
Morgan, yes. Pritchett? Pritchett not here. Sanders not here. Sawyer not here. Sterling not here. Tao Nichols.
Yes.
Tao Nichols, yes. Travis not here. Welsh.
Yes.
Welsh, yes. Whipperman.
No.
Whipperman, no. White.
No.
White, no. Wilkinson.
No.
Wilkinson, no. Okay, so that is 7 no, 5 yes. 2 abstentions, it fails. So that means that means the chair is overruled, meaning it's a substitute motion.
Right.
Now, all right. So we're in a substitute motion, and
now moving that this whole question, including the substitute motion, be tabled to the next meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Janet. Okay. So it's non-debatable, right? We have to vote.
Right.
Okay. Any objections to the motion to table? No. So let's have the vote, and it was asked for prior.
No, you don't have to do a roll vote.
We don't
have to
do
a roll call.
With no objections.
Objections.
Okay.
Without objection.
All right. So all those in favor of tabling?
Nobody objected.
Oh, perfect. So there's no objections. Sorry, I thought it was an objection to roll call or not. Thank you. So. All right, so it's tabled for next session, and I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
I would like to move to adjourn the meeting to consider the other resolution, which I thought we were going to cover before the end of this. No, I'm asking that we extend it. I know the time, what the time is.
We cannot because of our rental time. We are asked to leave. Yeah. So therefore, that remaining resolution will also be taken up at the next month's meeting. There's a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections? No? All right. We're adjourned. Thank you.